I thank these ladies who have stepped forward during this month to represent Women's Month. I thank them for their courage and their study. And now I bring to you one of our own, Reverend Priscilla Price, bringing the word of God. Can you stand to your feet? Can you stand to your feet and give her applause for standing up for God?
I just want to say good afternoon to everyone. Good afternoon. And I thank God for who he is. And I thank God for being the head of my life. When I think about how good he has been to me, I'm just so grateful. I don't have any reason to complain. You know, this morning when I came in, I was racking in pain. But one thing I realized is that Jesus suffered for me. So who am I to complain? I want to weather the storm. I want to do what he told me to do. And what he told me to do was preach the word. I don't have any stories to make up. Everything that I tell you comes from the word of God. And I love the Lord because he heard my cry and he pitied my every groan. My soul is happy right now. I'm glad, so glad to be in the house of the Lord. So I'm going to go into a word of prayer, and then I'm going to give you the topic, and Reverend Dr. Price, who is my helper, oh, thank you, Lord, and my helpmate, is going to read the scriptures. My Heavenly Father, Lord God, Father, I just become before your throne of grace to say thank you. Yes, now, Father, I ask that you bless your people, Lord. Father God, I ask that you anoint them, Lord, from on high. Father, I ask that you stand in the gap for them, Lord, for whatever it is that they may stand in need of. Father, we come seeking after you, Lord God, because, Father, we need you in our lives and we need you every step of the way. Father, we realize that we cannot do anything of ourselves. We realize, Father God, that when we call upon your name is holy. There is no name greater than the name of Jesus. And we call upon the name of Jesus right now. We call upon you, Jesus, because we do need you. We realize that we are living in perilous times. We do realize that we're going through the storms. We do realize, Lord God, that we're in a battle. But, Father, we call upon you, and we stand on your promise and stand on your word. Father, you have never left us nor forsaken us. And we shout hallelujah right now to you, Lord God. We shout hallelujah right now to you, Lord God. We shout hallelujah right now, Lord God, because you are a Father. You are a God. You are a helper. You are a keeper. Oh, Father, even in the darkest hours, you never leave us nor forsake us. Father, thank you for your embrace. Thank you for cradling us in your arms. Thank you for rocking us in your bosom. Thank you for that peace that only comes from you. Oh, Father God, we thank you. And Father God, I come before you, Lord. I'm an empty vessel. I'm broken, Lord God. But, Lord, God, through you, you can make me whole. Thank you, and Father God, I ask you right now, in the name of move me out of the way, because I don't know nothing. I don't know anything. But Lord, you know all things. You have all power. Father God, I ask to allow your Holy Spirit to step in here right now. Allow your Holy Spirit to continue the work, to complete the work, Lord God. Let everyone that's under the sound of my voice hear a word from you, Lord God. Open up their spiritual ears. Open up their spiritual hearts that they may be able to receive. What thus says the Lord. Oh, Father, I thank you so much, Lord God. Bless your people. Touch each and every one of them, Lord. And we thank you. In your son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Reverend Price is going to read the scripture. I'm going to give you the topic, and then you may be seated. The topic this morning is simple, the cross. The cross.
And we have two focal scriptures this morning, Saint. The first one is coming from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. And that scripture reads, who through him, believing God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And the second scripture is coming from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12. That you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. You may be seated.
Now, when we look at that word, the cross, when we look at the cross, during this time of the year is the time that we talk about the cross. We talk about what Jesus did on the cross. We talk about how he died on the cross and how he was buried and how he was risen. But the cross is something that we should carry with us each and every day. Because this is something that God did for us while we were yet sinners. He sent his only son to die for us. He didn't have any sins, but we were full of sin. But he allowed his son to go to the cross for us. Now, when you think about what Jesus went through, the beatings, the lashes, the crown, thorny crown on his head, the spitting upon him, the piercing in his side. When you think about all this stuff, you wouldn't have stood to have that done for nobody. But Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to go to the cross for us. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that he did. Because when he went to the cross, he gave me an opportunity to be reconciled back to God.
Amen.
See, when you read your scriptures and you go through Genesis, you find out that we were at one point in good standing with God. Go a little bit further, you find out now we're not in good standing with God because sin came in. And when sin raised its ugly head, it took charge. You know, it's just like that. The older generation would say something like this. One bad apple can spoil the whole bunch.
Yeah. That's
right. I didn't understand what that meant for a long time.
Okay.
But now I do. It only takes one to mess up everything for everybody.
That's right.
And that is what Adam did when he sinned in that Garden of Eden.
All right.
What he did was he brought sin on all of us.
Yeah.
So now we're under that sin, and then sin leads to what? To death.
Yeah, that's right.
So God looked at us and said, y'all are my creation. I love you all. So let me fix this problem. I'm so thankful that he loved us enough to want to fix it.
Amen.
Because when I thought about in the days of Noah, in Noah's time, what happened was the people were doing every and anything. They didn't care. They didn't have no morals. They didn't have no standards. Doesn't that sound familiar today?
Amen. All
right.
That we're doing everything, anything that we think we're big enough to do. And then we don't want to be corrected. We want to just continue to live that lifestyle. We want to continue to do it. But God is looking at us.
Yeah.
Just like he looked at the people in Noah's day. He said, I'm tired of this. I'm going to put an end to it. So he decided that he looked out, I'm going to destroy everything. But I'm so thankful that he's a merciful God. Because he found favor with one family. All it takes is one of us that God found favor with, and he will not destroy the city. One of us have favor with God, and he will spare the city. I'm so thankful that he did that. Because out of that came a new generation. And out of that generation, another generation. And out of that generation, another generation. But what I like is when it came to the generation of Jesus Christ.
All right.
When it came to his time that he was able to walk this plane as a man. He walked it as a full-blooded man. He could walk it and not sin. So why do we say that we can't walk it and not sin? The reason being is that you have not accepted the whole package. So let's talk about this cross here. I have some words here that I want you to write down, and Reverend Dr. Price is going to give you these words. I want you to write them down because I want you to go back through them day by day and look at these words and see what God was telling us. See, most people think that when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, they thought he meant it was finished. But what Jesus was saying, it's just beginning. It is just beginning what it is that I need you to do. I've come and I've taught you. I've shown you the way. I let you see that you can live a life without sin. I've shown you this. So read those words.
The first word we're going to be looking at, saints, is reconciliation. Reconciliation. The second word will be salvation. Salvation. Word number three is redemption. Redemption. The next word will be sanctification. And the last word will be justification.
Now, when we look at reconciliation, this is what it reads. It says, the resurrection of broken fellowship between God and humanity, turning enemies into friends through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. So what this is telling me that I didn't have any power to put myself back with God. You didn't have any power to put yourself back with God. But God had a plan, and that plan was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the only one that had the power to reconcile us back to the Father. His blood was shed for us. We didn't do anything to deserve what God gave us. Jesus paid the price for it all. And we need to think about that on a regular basis. If someone paid the price for you to save your life from sin and death, you have a lot to be thankful for. He paid the price for us so that we can live a life. We can live a life free. We can live a life without bondage.
Right.
We can live that life.
That's right. Uh-huh.
And once we understand that we're able to live that life because of what Jesus did, not because of what we did, but because of what God did for us, because he loved us so much, why can't we do that for somebody else? Why we have to have strings attached to feed somebody? Strings attached to give somebody some gas to get to work. Mm-hmm. Strings attached to give somebody some food. Strings attached to everything. I'll do this for you if you do this for me. But the God that we serve didn't do any of that.
Right.
He just did it. Why? because he so loved us.
Yes. Amen.
When you get to that point in your life that you understand, you just do it because God said so. You just do it because God's love is within you. You just do it, then you are set free. You set free and don't have to be shackled or chained or bound anymore.
All right.
And so once we look at this being reconciled back to God, it also said this to us. He said, believers who justified by faith. That word faith. Mm-hmm. You know, God tells us all the time, faith without work is dead.
That's right.
What he's telling us is that we can have all the faith in the world. We can have faith of a mustard seed. We can have all that faith. We can have faith as big as a football field. But if we don't put that faith into action, it means nothing. And what that action means is building that relationship with Jesus Christ. Because he is the one who supplies us with the faith. We didn't do anything for that. God did it because he loved us so much. And then it tells us through, by faith and reconcile to God by Christ's victory over sin and death. Jesus had to go to the cross. He had to die on the cross.
Yes.
His blood had to be shed.
Yeah, that's right.
Because without that, we would not be able to have eternal life.
Amen.
But Jesus did that for us. And didn't ask us for a thing. Only thing he said to us is take up your cross.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all follow right. after me daily.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
That's what he said. And you may say, oh, that's hard to do. No. Once you accept him as Lord and Savior of your life, he gave you something else.
Yes, yes.
He gave you the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
and he said the Holy Spirit would be the teacher.
Yeah, that's it.
He will show you what to do. He will tell you what to do.
Yeah, Lord.
But see, what we don't have is a relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Come on, come on now.
All right.
And when we don't have that relationship with the Holy Spirit, you'll do anything.
Yeah.
So we need to get to the point to understand that God put a plan in place.
Yeah, Lord.
And his plan is not going to fail. You may not go, but some of us are going.
All right. Yeah,
so my question is, do you want to go?
Yeah.
Or you want to stay on your own plan?
Yeah.
Me, myself, I want to be on the plan that Jesus set forth.
All right.
In Romans 5:1 it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. People are running around everywhere trying to find peace. They want peace in their homes. They want peace in their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They want peace with their friends. They want peace with their boyfriend. They want peace with their children.
All right.
But haven't done anything to receive that peace. And what God is telling us, the only way that we can have that peace is that we must have the faith that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So when you have Jesus Christ in your life and you have accepted him as Lord and Savior of your life, that's where the peace comes from.
All right. Right.
Amen.
There it is.
Amen.
That's where the peace comes from. You did me wrong, but I still love you.
Yeah.
You talked about me, but
yeah,
I still love you.
Come on.
You didn't feed me when I was hungry, but I still love you.
That's right. It.
You weren't there for me when I was sick, but I still love you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah.
See, that kind of peace only comes from God.
That's
you
right.
can't do that in your own power.
That's right.
But when you have that peace and love of God, you can walk through the storm. You can walk through the rain. You can walk through the trials. You can go through and know that you're not going through by yourself.
Yes. Yes.
That you have the love of Jesus Christ and the peace of Jesus Christ. There is nothing like having that peace of Jesus.
Yes.
Nothing like that peace. And if you have not had it, I tell you this. Ask Jesus to come into your life as Lord and Savior so that you can experience that peace
right.
of God. That peace will take you so far.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
All right.
That peace will give you joy.
Right.
That peace will give you happiness.
That's right.
That peace will do that. But not your peace. Because your peace is going to fall apart.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you have the peace of God,
yeah,
it's going to stand strong. Amen. It's going to stand boldly. When you're falling down, it's going to pick you up.
Yeah.
When somebody kick you, it's going to say, let it go.
Amen.
Let it go. Because God is the peace giver.
Yes, Lord.
And I thank him for that. I do. 1 Corinthians says, Dr. Price.
1 Corinthians 5 and 18 through 19. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous.
Now let's look at that right quick. All it took was one. Remember we said that earlier? It took one man that sinned. I didn't sin. I didn't eat that apple. I wasn't there. I didn't eat that fruit or whatever it was that God said not to do. I didn't do that. But guess what? I still fell under that same commandment. I still fell under that sin-filled situation. I needed some help. So Adam went out there and did what he did, and then he tried to justify. Yeah, see, yeah. That's what we do when we're walking in sin. When God called him and asked him, say, Adam, where are you? He hiding. That's what we do. We go and hide. Thank God can't see us. Thank that he don't know what we've done. He already knew before he had already called you out. So when we went through that process and Adam sinned like that, he tried to put it on Eve. That woman you gave me, she made that woman you gave me, she made me do it. He had a mouth. He could have said no. And see, that's what we need to understand. God give us all a mind. He gives us all a mouth. He gives us a brain so we can think. If somebody is telling you to go down a road and you know that road and that path is not right, you have the right to say no.
That's right.
But if you do not say no, then you're walking down that path by your own power. Because you just left God behind. So this is what Adam did. Adam left God behind. That's how we got separated. Because he did not do what God told him to do. That's what happens to us. When we don't listen to what God is telling us, God is always speaking to us. He's always telling us what to do, how to do it, when to do it. But you know what we do? We're going to do our own thing.
Yes.
I think I like this better. I like this outcome. What's the outcome of your way?
That's right.
Sin and death.
Yeah.
Your way is sin and death.
Yeah.
God's way is life eternal.
Yeah.
I want God's way. And then it says, this other part of the verse says, by one man, we were what? Reconciled. That's Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus came onto the scene.
Thank you, Lord.
And he brought us back to the Father. And he made the wrong right. Because he defeated, it said, what? Sin and death. So we don't have to fear this second death, those of us who have accepted Christ and walking with him. We don't have to fear that. We have to look forward to what? That eternal life that he has promised us. And when we begin to look forward to that eternal life that he has promised us and know that there's a hell. Oh, how many believe that? How many believe that there is a hell?
Come on.
Okay. Because see, that's where we get in trouble, because we don't believe there's a hell. So if we don't believe it's a hell, then I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. And that's just in a nutshell. But God has said there is a heaven and there is a hell. And we have to make the choice of where we are going. He is not going to force us. He left the instructions. He left directions. It's up to us.
Amen.
Should we read Corinthians, Romans?
So Acts 4, verses 11 and 12. This is the stone that was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
Now, this word that we're looking at is going to be salvation. Salvation. And this is what it tells us. Salvation. To be the total work of God. Delivering us from sin. And reconciling us back to him. Salvation. Delivering us from sin. And reconciling us back to Christ. Now, you walk around here and you say you're saved. But day after day, you're doing the same old thing. That does not represent salvation to me.
That's right. Amen.
Salvation is something that is given to you freely.
Yes.
And salvation is something that God expects us to walk in. When we say we're saved, we need to demonstrate that. I can't continue to go hanging out with my friends and doing the things I've done 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and I'm still doing it and say, God, gonna work it out in me one day. I feel sorry for you if Jesus come back on that one day and you're still waiting on that one day. Because you're going to be left behind. So, this means he says totally. That means he has done a complete work in us. And when he has done a complete work in us, that means we accept all his rules and regulations. Most of us have jobs. When you on a job, don't you have to follow what your bosses say?
That's right.
If you don't, you're not going to be there long.
Yeah.
See, this is the way it is with God. You standing in the presence of God. You saying, I'm saved. You saying, I believe in who you are. But yet you're doing something contrary to what he says. That is not being saved. That's you telling yourself in your mind, I'm saved. God don't want it in your mind. He wanted in your heart. Because when it's in your heart that you are truly saved, then God is going to begin to build on it. He's going to start taking some little nasty ways away that you've been doing and saying, oh, they know who I am. It's okay. It's not okay. And that's when God will start to step in and begin to clean you up.
That's right.
He'll begin to take that stuff away from you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you can't do it by yourself. You can't. The flesh, it says, is what? Weak. And the flesh is not thinking about doing nothing good, no way. He said, man is evil.
Yeah.
Our hearts are evil. So we need to have the heart of God. And how do we have the heart of God? We have the heart of God by accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior and accepting him as the head of our life and take the total work that he has to offer to us. See, what we think is, once I'm saved, okay, that's it. I can go sit down now. I can have a seat. I'm saved. Everybody, I'm saved. But salvation demonstrates some stuff.
All right.
Something comes along with it. God didn't save you just for you. He wanted you to talk to somebody else and tell them about the whole Jesus story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that they'll have an opportunity to be saved also.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting on the sideline thinking, oh, well, I just did a fish fry, I just did a program for the children. Oh, we just had a minister's conference. Oh, that's not the work of God. I call that working out yourself. You're working out yourself. That's what you're doing. Now, God may have instructed you to do it, but you're still working out yourself. You're not doing the work that God has called you to do. What did he call you to do? Did he call you to be a witness?
Yes.
Did he call you to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord?
Right.
Did he call you to preach? Did he call you to teach? You need to know these things. You need to know what he called you out for.
Yeah.
So that you begin to walk in that. And as you begin to walk in what he called you out for, then you begin to grow. And as you grow, people are going to notice. They're going to say, you know what, there's something different about that person.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it's something different. And I think I want a little bit of it for myself.
Yeah.
That's how God operates. He don't hire you in the dark and pay you out in the light. God hires you in the light and pay you off in the light. Amen. Satan will hire you in the dark and pay you off in the light so everybody will know what you have done. This is how that operates. But then he says that he is the what? Chief cornerstone. So a lot of people didn't accept Christ. And you know why they didn't accept him? Because they didn't want to change their ways.
That's right.
They wanted to continue to do what they were doing.
Yeah.
They want to continue to mistreat people. They want to continue to swindle people. You know, back then they did that a lot, selling the doves and whatever for them to have the sacrifices and stuff like that. Price that way out of price range. We're doing that today.
Yeah.
We're doing that today.
All right now.
You go to a bank to get a loan, they're going to tell you some ridiculous amount and some ridiculous amount of interest. And you know good and well it don't fall in line with those other people that they just gave them a loan. But they're not going to give you a loan. And that's just it. So we have to realize who we are. And we have to realize who we belong to. When we belong to God, nothing is impossible.
That's right.
And that's what we need to realize. We can't walk around in this world and say that they did that for them, but they're not going to do it for me. Who your daddy? My daddy is God, Jesus Christ. And my daddy owns everything. So whatever I desire to ask my daddy for, when he ready to give it to me, he going to give it to me. I don't have to depend on the world. I don't have to depend on what they're setting out before me. I don't have to follow their rules. I don't have to. Because my father owns everything. And I believe that with my whole heart. I thought back over my life. I said, God, is there anything that I've ever asked you for that you didn't give me? And the answer to that is no.
All right.
Whatever I have asked God for, he has done it for me. Me sitting in this chair right now, this is my struggle with God, to build my relationship with God, to make me stronger in God. And I welcome it because I understand that everything bad that other people may think is bad is not bad in the eyesight of God.
All right.
And once you realize that, then you're able to walk through the fire. You're able to take the criticism. You're able to do that. Why? Because you know you don't belong to yourself. You've been bought with a price.
Amen.
Jesus did that for you. So we're going to walk the walk, and we're going to talk the talk. The next word is?
The next word is redemption. Now, some aspects that we're going to look at when we start talking about redemption. The first one is the price paid. Redemption is rarely free. It involves a substitutionary sacrifice or ransom with Jesus' death as a price for humanity's sin. Freedom from slavery. It refers to liberation from the bondage of sin, spiritual death, and the curse of the law. Restoration. It is not merely rescue, but bringing believers back into a right adopted relationship with God as his children. And atonement. Through Christ's blood, the debt of sin is clear and guilt is removed.
And when you look at this word redemption, it says the price paid. Who paid the price for you? Christ did. That's what he did for you on the cross. He paid the price. He paid the price with his life. He paid the price with his blood. He paid the price. He said redemption is rarely free. It involves a substitutionary sacrifice. So we know that Jesus was the sacrifice. So our freedom cost somebody something, but it didn't cost us anything. Jesus was the one who paid the ransom for us. And now you want to live any kind of old way? You want to do any old thing? And Jesus died on the cross for you and paid the price for you to give you a right to eternal life? I don't think so. We have to correct our actions. We have to look at ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. We know right from wrong. Don't nobody have to tell you when you're doing something wrong. You know. And then he says, freedom from slavery. Now, we were before Jesus died for us. We were slaves to sin. You know what that means? That means that we were bound to it. And we were no way that we were not going to continue to sin because I'm a slave to it. So if you're a slave to something, you continue to do the things that you know you do. But when Jesus died, he set us free from that. He set us free from the sin. He set us free from that second death. He set us free. Now, why would you let somebody come in and put you back in bondage that you've already been set free from? We need to think about that. I'm not going to allow somebody to take me back to 20 years ago when I was doing what I was doing and thought I was having a good time.
All right.
That's craziness. You know, it's just like when you were a child, the Word of God said you thought as a child. But when you became a adult, you did what? You put away childish things. So that's what we have to do. We have to change our mindsets. We have to change our thought process and understand that God has already worked all this out for us. We just need to follow the pattern. And then resurrection, it says, it is not merely rescue, but being, but bringing believers back into a rightful, adopted relationship with God as his children. Now, I like that because we all sometimes can go astray. We all sometimes can get involved in something that we shouldn't have. But God gives us an opportunity to come back to him and repent and not do it anymore. Now, what kind of God is that? That's a good God. Somebody do something to you, the first thing you're going to do, you're going to hold on to it for years and years. But it's not hurting that person, it's hurting you because you have not gotten through the point of forgiveness. Once you have learned how to forgive somebody for something, and somebody asked me this question one time. They said, how can you forgive somebody that has done something to you? And then they said, or forget something that somebody did to you. I say, you can't. You can't. But God can. God can forgive that person in your heart, and he will even make you forget it even happened. See, that's the kind of God that we serve. He don't let us rely on ourselves because he know we can't do it, but he can do anything but fail. The next one is atonement. Through Christ's blood, the debt of sin is cleansed and guilt is removed. Through Jesus' blood, shedding of his blood, we have been atoned. We have atonement. That means that sin is blotted out. That sin is gone. So don't tell anybody you can't live a life without sin. Because Jesus took it all on himself on the cross. So you don't have it no more. And the only reason you do is because you choose to pick it up again. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pick it up. I wanted to stay buried with Jesus.
Amen.
I wanted to stay on that cross.
All right.
And then the next verse says, Hebrews 9, 11 through 12.
But Christ came as high priest of good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption.
Thank you, Lord. I can be holy now. See, we say we can't be holy, but we can be holy. Why can't I be holy? Because Jesus' blood covered all of that. Now I have an opportunity that I can live holy.
All right.
I can follow after Christ. I can do what he did. I can walk as he walked. I can live holy. And the word of God tells us, be ye holy, because what? He is holy. That means if God said we can be holy and live holy, that means we can.
All right.
And this is what the death on the cross represents. God wants us to strive to a higher level.
Yeah.
And that higher level is to grow higher and higher in him. And how do you get higher and higher with Christ? Is that you have a relationship because God is holy, therefore we should be holy.
Yes.
We need to live that life
of
holiness. And when we live that life of holiness, our lives are going to be more abundant. Why? Because when you're trying to live holy, you're not going to even think about doing those things you used to do.
That's right. Amen.
You're going to be striving to do the things that Christ was doing. And that way you can become holy. I said, Lord, thank you. God has laid it all out for us. All we need to do is just follow the instructions.
Yes.
Amen. The last word is sanctification, setting something apart for a holy purpose. God has set us aside. That's why we can be holy. He set us aside through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. He set us aside for a purpose, for him to do his work, to do his will, to do his calling. So when he set you aside, I think one of the perfect examples of that to me is Paul. I remember when Paul was on that Damascus road, he was so busy going around persecuting the church, putting the people in prison, killing the people. And Jesus stopped him on that road and asked him a question. Why are you persecuting me? Immediately Saul said, yes, Lord. He immediately said, yes, Lord. Immediately. And from that day forth, Paul went about doing what? Exactly what Jesus has called him out to do. Telling the people about who Jesus is. Telling the people that Jesus is the Son of God. Telling the people that Jesus died on the cross. Telling the people all you have to do is believe in him and you shall be saved. Telling the people that one day he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's coming back for a church without a spot or wrinkle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How can that be? How can he come back for a church without a spot or wrinkle? I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Take that out of your vocabulary. We are no longer sinners. We are saints.
Amen.
And we have to walk like saints. The word of God says there are curses and blessings in the tongue. So if you call yourself a sinner, then that's what you are. I am a saint of God. I'm walking in the way of God. I'm living in the way of God. I don't think about the old things I used to do. I don't want to do the old things I used to do. I want to learn something new each and every day about my Lord and Savior. And there's a lot to learn about God. That's a lot to learn. Read Thessalonians 2:13.
Yep. Second Thessalonians, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Now I want to ask a question. This verse said that it tells us to give thanks, and we should always do that for God. He says, from the beginning, chose you for sanctification, for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in Jesus Christ. So now, we already know that we were set aside. But did you know you were chosen even from the beginning?
Amen.
See, God knew who was going to be his before we did. He already knew. So he set us aside for a purpose. And our mission right now is to find out what that purpose is. What God wants us to do with our lives for him. We may think we know because somebody told you, oh, you sing real good. So that's what God wants you to do. Some people have 2, 3, 5, and 6 gifts. But what is it that God wants you to do for him? Start asking those questions, and God will definitely give you the answer. The last thing that we're going to go through is justification. In Galatians 2:16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. So what God is telling us here, you can't work your way into heaven. You can't. You have to have the faith in Jesus Christ. You have to believe that he is Lord and Savior. You have to want a relationship, you want to live a holy life, this is the thing that will get us into heaven, that we know who Jesus is and we have accepted him. And then we got to allow him to work his work within us. When he works his work within us, we become better people. But we'll be loving each other so much until when one hurt, we all hurt.
Amen.
See, that's what Jesus wants for us. He wants us to come together just that way. And not separating or causing division or causing strife. That's not God's way. God says he loved us. It didn't say that we loved him. God loved us. He said he so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for a God who loved me just that much. That he would go that far. Because I know that I'm not going to give my child for any of y'all. And that's just the truth. Because that's my human side speaking. I'm not going to do that. But in my spiritual life, God may say, make this sacrifice like he told Abraham. And in my spiritual life, I'm going to have to be obedient to what it is that he tells me. We have to make a choice. Do we want to be fleshly? Or do we want to be spiritual?
All right. Amen.
My life, I want it to be spiritually.
Amen.
I want to go higher and higher and higher with the Lord. So I can love on you. I can tell you I love you and really mean it.
Amen.
I can feed you when you're hungry. I can come see about you when you're sick.
Hello.
I'll do all those things. Why? Because I know God is pleased with that kind of work. So thank y'all for taking the time to listen to me.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."